And we're back. We are live from the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas for Mix 11. This is Channel 9 Live. Make sure you send us your questions via Twitter with the hashtag CH9Live. With me on stage, I have Joe Belfiore. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Megan Donoghue and Chris Bernard.
Hi.
Thanks for your time, everybody.
Thanks.
Joe doesn't really need the introduction, so I might just jump straight over to Megan and Chris and just quickly kind of tell us what you do and kind of why you're here at Mix.
Sure. Yeah, my name is Megan Donoghue, and I'm a senior design PM in the Windows Phone design team.
Cool.
So I work on user experience.
My name is Chris Bernard, and I'm a user experience advisor for Microsoft, and I work with all of our customers on emerging technology, and the phone is one of those things.
And, of course, Joe, you're Mr. Windows Phone.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Windows Phone? I run program management and design.
Or Mr. Windows Phone. That's what we call you on Channel 9. That's your name here. So we are live for the next half an hour with Joe, Megan, and Chris, and we're talking about design, specifically design for the Windows Phone. All these guys up here are experts in design and user experience, so we'd like to kind of focus on that for this particular session here. If you have questions, CH9Live, send them via Twitter. Now, Scott Guthrie just came off stage. He had two questions that were asked of him that he said, I'm going to let Joe answer those. I'm going to quickly jump into those, and then we're going to go into the discussion about design. They're on the prompter here. So, John McBride, will registered Windows Phone devs have early access to builds like Mango without having to wait for carriers?
John, so what we're planning to do mm-hmm. is make all of the dev tools available to all developers on the web for anyone who wants it free download. And what that will get you is Mango development platform in the emulator on your PC. Right now, we don't currently have a plan to get phone builds available. So stay tuned. We'll see if we can figure something on that out. But right now, that's not a plan. Just as we had in Windows Phone 7, emulator on the PC.
All right, great. And Andre F1989, is there going to be a change to the notifications area and improving access to notifications from home screens after Toast disappear? That's a very specific question.
Very specific.
Well, first, I'm going to say that the announcements that we've made so far about Mango have been specific to the developer platform.
Okay.
And you're kind of asking an end-user design feature question, I assume, about the Mango update coming later this year. So generally, I'm going to decline to answer those.
Okay.
But in this particular case, I'll say that we're working on some stuff to improve notifications, although the specific thing that you mentioned about getting access to them from the home screen is not currently in our plan.
And that is an important distinction, I think, for today, specifically the announcements around Windows Phone, is that you guys are focusing today here at Mix on developer.
That's right.
So these are announcements for developers on the Windows Phone.
Right.
So if you do have questions for our panelists, we'd like to steer kind of away from the technical stuff to begin with and really focus on design. This is what this particular panel is about. I was just handed a note that says, my fly is undone, but thankfully I'm sitting at a table. So the very first question here for the guys, Albert Schum actually prepared this. Hello, Albert, if you're watching. Albert is a friend of the show's. Talking about, now, Mix 2010, when you guys were here, you made some announcements. Windows Phone obviously featured very prominently. 12 months from Mix 10, how would you talk about the year in review? What's happened in the last 12 months? That's a very open-ended question, Joe.
A huge amount of stuff. In fact, it's kind of amazing to think that we've really come so far as a community and as Windows Phone in the year since Mix.
Mm-hmm.
I remember leading up to Mix, we hadn't announced anything about the developer platform. No one knew Silverlight. No one knew it was XNA.
Sure.
No one knew whether we'd have flexibility for developers to use their own branding and apps, none of that stuff. And I think probably the most significant thing from my point of view has been seeing the incredible range of creativity and quality mm-hmm. in the apps. The number of apps that we have in the marketplace really has been a huge positive for us. I think in our most positive expectations, we might have imagined being here, but we could have imagined scenarios that would have been a lot worse, too.
Now, when was the Metro framework announced? Was that at Mix 10, or did you kind of talk, or not framework, but the design principles around Windows Phone? Was that at Mix?
We had unveiled the new user experience
okay.
at Mobile World Congress in February, so
okay.
like a month and a half before Mix. But we hadn't gone into any real detail on how you could write apps, whether you could write apps, mm-hmm. whether any of the user experience paradigms or design elements would be available in controls. So there was a ton that was new at Mix, although we had shown the UI before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think over the past year, too, you know, something that we've learned in terms of building experiences for the applications is trying to help developers take experiences they've built for other platforms and understand how that fits within the Metro framework. And it's not immediately straightforward, so we're having to do a lot of evangelizing on what Metro means, both at a visual level and from an experience level. and so continue to work to try to make that communication better.
But that creates an opportunity for designers too, because this is the first mobile platform that's gotten away from here's my desktop, here's my icons, here's my trash can, and really is a natural interface, right? It's just kind of like video games when we play them, right? You know, who reads the manual when you get a new video game? If you can't figure it out, you're moving on. And I think the phone has done a great job of opening up all these great new ways to make experiences. And where I think designers have had some challenges is, you know, understanding how to use a panorama and a pivot. And the power that that can bring you when you do it right is great. But you're going to really need to think about your interface and not say, I'm just going to take this app and it's got these four screens and put it on the phone.
All right, so here's a question that I think is coming to a little bit more of a technical angle, but I'd love to hear your take on perhaps how designers might approach this. So Jamie T. asks, can you talk more about the calendar API? What can devs do with that? Can we publish new calendars into the calendar app? So that's, you know, obviously a technical question there, but let's also think about, as a designer, as someone in the design space building apps for Windows Phone 7, what does it allow you to do that you probably couldn't do beforehand? Maybe Joe?
Yeah, sure. One of the main things that we were trying to do with a bunch of the app platform enhancements that we announced at Mix is enable designers and developers of apps to have a better integration with the parts of the phone that are there already.
Right.
And so the calendar and contact stuff, so far, to my knowledge, you'll be able to read data that's present. I don't think we yet have the ability for you to write it back in.
Okay.
And what that will let you do is tailor your experiences, in the case of calendar, around people's appointments, what do they already have on their calendar. And in the case of contacts, you can use the data that's available to prompt people about whether they'd like to connect with them in your app. You could imagine chat apps or Twitter apps, all kinds of stuff that would use the contact information in someone's app.
I've already seen some really exciting examples of this in the music and video space. So, you know, there's a lot of applications that sort of know what content you've already downloaded to the device, and then they do creative things with it. You know, they might serve up the lyrics for the songs that you already have on your phone, or help you find concerts in the area of the artists you care about. And so, you know, I think we'll hope to extend that to more data sets in the future. It's
an area we want to grow. That brings up another great thing about the platform that developers and designers are starting to understand is it's not just the interface, but we're getting away from silos, right? And when you start thinking that, hey, I'm not in a silo, I don't need to drill down in this app to do this thing, and then drill back up and drill down this app to do this thing, I can just grab all those pieces of data for my experience on the phone, that gets exciting, right? And I think we've done a great job of that with Zune and then the native apps that are on the phone, but we're starting to see other non-native apps that designers and developers are doing that too.
Now, Chris and Megan, you both had sessions here at Meets, which were today or yesterday?
Yesterday.
Oh, yesterday. What were Chris, your session was?
We did a lightning rounds around inspirational UX, and I'm from Chicago, so I talked a little bit about what we can learn about design from John Hughes and some of his movies, so.
Okay. And Megan, your session was?
Yeah, mine was around application design. Mm-hmm. So I spent a little bit of time sort of refreshing the group on the basics around the Metro principles and how our system hierarchy is structured. And then I walked through a lot around the design process that we use in our own team and how you can apply that when you're working on applications to help build really compelling user stories and journeys that are more than, you know, sort of that one-time run, but they actually keep a user engaged over the long term. So
Joe, when you come to something like Mix and you have a keynote presentation, you announce new features and new functionality. How does that then influence, or how does that change the way that a designer goes about, okay, I have an idea for an app, but now there's some new features that have just been announced that completely changes everything. So what's the flow in terms of here are the features that I have available and here's my idea? How do you kind of balance that?
Well, I think if there's some things that I hope designers will take away from what we announced today.
Sure.
One really goes along with what you said about trying to break down silos. Mm-hmm. A big part of the design theme of Windows Phone is putting the right tasks and actions where users will expect. So, you know, to Megan's example, there's music and video, and there's lots of great value in music and video. We want people to be able to go to the music and video hub and find the right app or find content from inside an app. Some of the things we announced today that will make it a lot easier for designers and app developers to connect with users. We announced this idea of search extras, where when you do a search on the phone, you get a search result, you know, maybe you search for Thai food and you get back a bunch of restaurants, you open a restaurant card, you can pivot over and see apps installed on your phone that can do something with a restaurant, like make a reservation or, you know, look up critic information, all kinds of great stuff. That's one of the really important ways that we're trying to break down these silos and put app answers right where people are looking for them. Another good example of that is a lot of enhancements that we've made to live tiles.
Okay.
You can now set multiple live tiles for your app. So the one example we showed was Amazon Shopping. where you download an Amazon app, it's good at browsing, it's good at searching, it does barcode reading. Well, now if a user wants to scan a lot of barcodes, they can put a tile just for the barcode scanning right on their start experience. And our background processing capability, which is sort of unique, we now call this Live Agents, lets you have code that runs periodically in the background and can go update these tiles so they change, they provide new information. It's a nice, rich, interesting way to give users glanceable data, draw them into your app, and connect app parts to each other.
Okay.
Yeah. Something to add on to that, though, when you're thinking about building a compelling user experience, it's not about implementing every feature that's available for you. So as we add on more and more features for developers to take advantage of, don't approach it as, oh, I have to check off the box and implement all of these in my app. Think about the ones that make the most sense for the story that you're trying to tell with your application. And sometimes, you know, maybe all those features will make sense, but sometimes it may just be a subset of those, and sort of, you know, really be thoughtful around how you integrate them into your design.
And is the process really to kind of start with the idea for your app and then look at what features are available in order to kind of plug them together to achieve your goal? Or is it the other way around? Do you start with looking at, these are the features I have in front of me, how do I use those to, you know, create something compelling?
I think it should be a blend of those things. Sure. I think that you want to initially start sort of very high level and understand what are the basic goals and the principles and the tasks I want to do with my app at a extremely high level that are agnostic to the implementation. Mm-hmm. And then you can start to play around with different ideas for how you might accomplish that, and that's when you can start to look into what feature sets are available and how it might light up different types of experiences. And so there'll be sort of an ebb and flow in your process. Well, you can start with the experience, then work a little bit around implementation or feasibility, then sort of go big again with some ideas that might have been spurned by that investigation. So,
Chris?
You know, I'm only going to disagree a little bit with you.
Sure.
I think live tiles are fantastic. And I think probably, you know, if we look over the year, we probably haven't, as designers and developers, exploited their capabilities enough in terms of what they do. And, you know, when I look up, you know, we talk about design notes, go out, listen to everybody, and, you know, we expect people to tell us what they want, and often people don't know what they want, right? You know, as human beings, we're awful at figuring out what we really want in life, right? So it's kind of silly as a design process for us to go out and ask people, right? Sometimes we need to take that leap of faith and say, this is what I think this should be. And one of the great things about phones in general, and Windows Phone in particular, is it's different when you have a device that knows where you are, right? And I can have progressive disclosure through the Metro interface. There's a lot of things that just haven't been done before that no one's going to tell you need to do, that we as designers and developers just got to kind of play with and see if it works a little bit too.
Yeah. I talked a lot about that in my talk, especially around the use of live tiles. I think there's a lot of innovations that can be done with the idea of a live tile that, you know, people see it as a constraint that we give them one template that they can use and they have to plug in, you know, exactly to the number and the title of the tile, and not thinking about how you can use dynamic images serving through the push notifications to help you learn about things in the future.
Right, so Root does a great job of that right now in their app where the pictures push through.
Yeah.
All right, so we have some questions coming in from Twitter. And again, we are completely live here at the Mandalay Bay, Las Vegas. #CH9 live for your questions. I'm going to jump to the first one up here from Help Software. Need to know about App Hub improvements. Thanks. So App Hub improvements. Joe, you want to talk about that a little bit?
I don't actually know.
You don't? You have stumped Joe Belfiore. Congratulations, Help Software.
I assume you're asking about App Hub as in the place where you submit apps.
Right.
Yeah, I don't actually know what the story
Maybe
is.
Maybe if Help Software wants to send us a new tweet with a little bit more clarity, that'd be great. Dean VMC says, can we have more style templates like the SMS text box style, for instance?
I think that we'll continue to work with the team that puts out the developer tools to help provide more templates and guidance around how to apply the similar styles to what we do in the first-party experience.
So we'll pass that request on to them.
It's an ongoing process, and any feedback you have, we'll listen to it and certainly take it into account.
Fantastic. And Chase, C-H-A-E-S-S, says, Joe B, that's you. will I be able to create a background app to send info to the cloud on a scheduled interval? This is a question I think we actually had for Scott Guthrie as well, and he may or may not have asked you to answer this on his behalf.
Basically, yes.
Okay, cool.
The idea of live agents is to have a mechanism that enables developers like you to implement a background part of your app, which is separate from your foreground part, and which the operating system will wake up and allocate time to in a way that balances the user's battery with your need and desire to be able to do things in the background in an interesting way. The specific policies on these are still sort of getting worked out. One of the talks this afternoon, which I guess maybe you won't be able to attend if you're out on the internet somewhere, covers where we're at with this, but definitely stay tuned, and if you have feedback, let us know. The intent is yes, we're going to solve that scenario for you.
I heard someone the other day, it might have been yesterday, mention that I think this is across all platforms, basically only 1% or something like less than 1% of apps that are downloaded to people's phones really get used. People download apps they probably don't use as many as they do download. I don't know if that stat's correct, but I'm just kind of interested on your take on maybe it's, I don't know, app fatigue. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the sweet spot in terms of the number of apps people should have on their phone, yeah. or maybe your thoughts on that?
Well, it's actually interesting. Users download tons of apps, yeah. but over time they tend to only habituate to around 10 to 12 apps
right.
and use those frequently and over again. And I think there's a lot of different reasons why certain people abandon an application. It could be because the performance is terrible, so they launch it once and they can't do what they wanted to do, and they're like, you know, forget it, and they're just lazy, they don't uninstall it. It could be because, you know, it served one specific purpose and it didn't do a good job of adding delay and over time, so that every time they came back, the experience was engaging and unique for mm-hmm. them. And so you go into the app and you do the one thing it does, and you're, you know, it's novel, but then it, you just throw it away also. So they sort of have a disposable sense to them.
Right.
And so that's, you know, what I love to have that dialogue with the community around: how can you make more engaging applications that keep the user retained and using them in the long term, and sure. the different ways you can sort of tease them and delight them over time, and not give it all to them in one go around. Mm-hmm.
And some of that's healthy, because it's like going to the library, and if I want to go find an app for a stopwatch, I don't want to just download one. I'll download all five and try them out. So, you know, being able to try and experiment and then kind of gravitate towards the one that works best for you, I mean, you know, it's a feature. It's not a bug, really. So I think we see a lot of that in apps right now, too, and that's just part of the experience, and that's why app stores are great, because we can do that experimentation now. And specifically on Windows Phone, where you can try before you buy, you know, that feature is important, I think.
So, Joe, obviously, you'll see a lot of apps coming across your desk for the marketplace. What are some of the, you know, maybe not some of the best apps that you've seen, maybe we shouldn't call out individuals, but what are some of the things that you are seeing in apps? What makes a great app is probably what I'm trying to say.
What makes a great app?
And then basically, what kind of advice can you give to people that are watching live, or perhaps they're here at the conference, or they're going to download a session recording later on? How can they take that information and apply it to their own work?
You know, it's interesting. I think definitely there's this level of basics that people need to get right
sure.
in terms of performance, good design. An app should be self-evident in mm-hmm. what it does and what its value is, so I don't have to figure something out that's cryptic. So I'd say that's sort of baseline. Then in terms of, like, I would choose the word usefulness,
yeah.
but mm-hmm. there's definitely value in apps that are enjoyable but not useful.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I thought you were going to ask, oh, what are some of the apps that I'm playing with now? And I was starting to think,
I didn't know if you actually wanted to kind of call out any apps or not. So.
One app I just downloaded yesterday and was playing around with, because I think a bunch of people here are, is Wordament.
Okay.
And it's a completely clever idea. I don't know if you all have seen this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
where you're playing this word game against everyone else who's simultaneously playing it. Mm-hmm. It's addictive. It's well-scripted. It's simple. It's really elegant and attractive in its layout. It performs well. And it totally got me hooked. And I played around with it for a while, had a fun time. And, you know, we'll see if I keep playing it. I don't know if it's one of those sort of disposable apps or not.
Right.
There's lots of really great ideas that people have implemented in a smooth and elegant way, and I think that's probably the key combination.
Right. Mm-hmm. Megan and Chris, I mean, at your sessions here at Mix, I'm sure people came up and asked questions. Did you have app designers that wanted to kind of speak to you about their specific app, anything you kind of want to mention that you're seeing in terms of trends here at Mix?
Not immediately after the talk, but, you know, we have an ongoing dialogue with app developers in the community, and we have a lot of conversations around, you know, so nailing the basics is a really important one. You know, how do you design on a grid? How do you design a layout that looks like it embraces the Metro principles? And so sort of helping them understand the appropriate use of margins and white space and balance and scale in your typography is a conversation we have pretty frequently.
Well, our talk was about inspiration, right, and around design and inspiration. And I think, you know, probably the key thing that we took away is, you know, if you had a doctor and you said, hey, all you can do is hair and makeup, but that doctor could operate on you, he could save your life and do that other stuff. What we've kind of found is design can do a lot more than just make things look pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some platforms, and I think Windows Phone is a great platform for letting designers exploit, we need a new word, usiness or something like that, right? You know, for these things that people can do that delight you,
yeah.
right? And, you know, it's a... there are some times when something just feels good and it feels perfect, and that's that kind of intangible, inscrutable quality that I think people look for in apps right now.
Mm-hmm. Joe, we have another question here from Kronos Labs. Please expand on this, and I think this might be a cut and paste from perhaps the website. Expanded reach, dedicated mm-hmm. games, marketplace, parental controls, and new beta distribution service. What does that mean?
Sure. So I'll take those point by point. One of the things that we're going to be doing in the Mango update in the marketplace experience, when a user on the phone goes to the marketplace and opens the marketplace hub, we're creating a dedicated hub for the games marketplace.
Okay.
So first you see this, the top level, apps, games, music, podcasts. If you choose games, you get another hub, mm-hmm. which has a specific featured game, has a set of six additional featured games. It shows you the top games. It shows you free games. So it's trying to do a much better job of letting people find great games to use and play. Second, parental controls. One of the things that we're adding in Mango is the ability for developers to submit M-rated games and have them be displayed in the right way for the right audiences. So if there's a young person who's using a phone, then they won't have access to those M-rated games. It lets us expand the gaming portfolio. And then last, beta distribution service is a feature we're adding to the marketplace where you can submit an app and mark it to be private, not available on the public marketplace, mm-hmm. and then you can send a URL privately to a set of people that you want to have run the game on real phones or the game or app on real phones in advance of it going public on the broad marketplace.
Fantastic. There we go, Kronos Labs. I hope your question was answered. We still have a few minutes left. If you have more questions for Joe, Megan, and Chris, #CH9Live. Don't forget, we're streaming live all day from the Mandalay Bay for Mix 11, Channel 9 Live Mix 11. Again, I had a few questions prepared for us in advance by Albert Shum, who we hope is watching somewhere back in Redmond. And basically, his question was about future vision for app design in terms of, okay, looking forward perhaps the next 12 months and not thinking about functionality, not talking about features, but talking about design and the evolution of good design principles on Windows Phone. And I think what we have a few minutes left, what would be your key takeaway or your key pieces of advice for people watching? What should they be thinking about for the next 12 months? Joe or Megan, you want to start?
It's a tough question.
It's a tough question, I know. I know, but I suppose that's why we're here at Mix, right? People are here to not about learn about the new technology, mm-hmm. how do we implement it, and what are the best ways
well,
to do
I think,
that?
Well, I think the two concepts that I would land with are context and depth are going to continue to be important. And if you look at the Metro interface, it is. It's kind of tough if you're coming from other platforms to look at it and grok it right away. But it is really built to be awesome at context and depth in terms of knowing where you are and progressive disclosure and having an interface that lets you drill in and out and around and side to side.
Just quickly, you said progressive disclosure. I think, you know, for people at home watching live, what is that?
Well, let's talk about in the context of phone, right? A tile gives me a certain piece of information, right? Like in my Outlook, it tells me how many emails I have, mm-hmm. right? Or it may tell me how many texts I have until I get 25 and then I get the oh no face, right? That's progressive disclosure. It's not telling me what's in those texts, but then I can punch into that and go even deeper. That's going to become really valuable and important for apps, especially as the noise around us becomes more important as well. So I think having the phone or any device know what you're doing in context. So Joe may have his phone in his pocket right now, and he may want to get a bunch of notifications from different apps, except not right now, because we're on TV, right? And being able to start using calendars and all these other apps and putting them together to be more nuanced and how we get those things is going to be what I think is going to be the big trend in the future.
On a visual side, I'd really love to like see more exploration in bringing the ideas, the inspiration we had from magazines and print graphic design into the digital interfaces, because I think that there's some really compelling and exciting interfaces that we could build in the digital form that could be inspired by print and the use of typography in really sexy and fun ways. And you know, I think people see Metro so much as a constraint they have to work in and are not looking at it as a platform that they can innovate on.
Are there some examples of that you kind of would like to reference, or perhaps did you have some in your session? Because we should plug that. Both Chris and Megan said available to download probably in the next 24 hours.
We had some inspirational images in the session, so people should definitely check out my video.
And Joe, next 12 months.
It's funny. I'm definitely in a mode right now to think about not what's happening on the screen while you're mm-hmm. in the app, but what is the app doing. Maybe when it's not running, or it can be smart about when you first launch it, that it's set up properly, or the mm-hmm. idea that you had about context. Integration, getting people into the app, mm-hmm. providing good value around the live tile, stuff that's happening not on the screen when your app is running.
Or have the app just figure that out for you so you don't need to set up anything, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, great. And we have 2 minutes left, so if you have any more questions for the guys, #CH9Live. Don't forget we are live for the rest of the day. Joe, you know, we had Scott on before talking about some of the updates for his team and how you know, Windows Phone and Silverlight are obviously mm-hmm. very much hand in hand. Is there anything you'd kind of like to add to? I don't know if you had a chance to see Scott's presentation or see Scott's talk, but mm-hmm. expand more on perhaps how does that relationship work between your team and his?
Well, the Scott's team is basically responsible for implementing the Silverlight runtime, all the tools, and we have a team that does integration of their work with the core platform, and there's also a team that builds the XNA support. Actually, we have a terrific partnership relationship. The DevDiv team has been awesome in building features, doing great performance work, making the tools terrific, and you know, we're really lucky to have them working on our stuff.
That's great. So a question here about really the design process, and I know we have touched on this before, and I think what are some of the best practices here at Mix in terms of, are there some sessions coming up today or tomorrow that you think that people should really go out and check out in terms of, they only have limited time here at Mix, and obviously we will have the recordings available to download, but what are some must not miss, must watch sessions that are kind of coming up, anything that you'd like to kind of plug here in the last couple of minutes that we have?
Yeah, there's Thomas Fennell's a developer in our team who's going to be talking about the push notification system and how to make live tiles come to life. And he'll be going into a lot of the new features in Mango that we're rolling out for the live tile space. So that's a really awesome way to innovate and sort of think about how to retain users and get them back into your app, is that embracing the live tile and really kind of pushing the envelope there. So I would check that one out.
Well, and there's a session on Thursday that Mark Paley is going to bring some of Bill Buxton's ideas to life on the phone about looking at virtual worlds and augmented reality that I think is going to be interesting. And there is part 2 and 3 of our UX innovation lightning rounds that are going on too. And I think the core thing that I take away when we talk about development and process is the best way to have a great idea is to have 100 of them, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, we've got these great platforms and tools are just sketching and drawing a picture that let us get those 100 ideas. And don't think you need to start in code right away. You don't. And we have platforms and tools that let you make that dial as light or as heavy as you want. And that's the right way to get great ideas.
Awesome. All right, Joe, so what's next for your team? obviously finish Mix 11.
Finish.
We've still got 24 hours to go. We're not over yet. But kind of what's coming up? What can we look forward to?
As I said, the topic of the day here has been talking about the developer features that are going to be coming in the Mango release. In a little while, we'll be talking about end-user features.
Okay.
There's more for us to describe that's going to be, hopefully people will think, exciting and fun in that release. So look for that in a little while. And then, you know, we have to get all these devices into people's hands.
Excellent. Well, Chris, Megan, and Joe, thank you very much for your time. Stick around. There's more Channel 9 Live for the rest of the day. We're going to have a quick half-hour lunch break, and we'll see you very soon. Thank you.
Thanks.